Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
My name is Hope Hickerson, one of the writers for the Noise Filter Podcast. Having a baby is a wonderfully exciting time in a parent's life, until it's time to start thinking about childcare. For parents across the U.S., the process of finding and signing up for childcare has become more overwhelming than ever before, and coronavirus has only made it worse. According to USA Today, quality early learning options are in short supply across the country. Many families lack the time, know-how, and connections needed to land a seat at the programs that do exist. Then there's the time-consuming task of calling or visiting each of these providers to see if there's vacancies, filling out applications, and sometimes going through interviews. Then the months or even years-long wait list. As a parent myself, I unfortunately am all too aware of this process. When my first child was born, I started looking for daycares, thinking I was ahead of the game. Little did I know, I should have been looking for daycare centers the minute I saw the plus sign on my pregnancy test. My son was almost one before I was able to get a spot for him. And now the pandemic has compounded the challenges. Now, not only do parents have to be extra selective to ensure their child is safe, but they also have fewer providers to choose from. Childcare centers and preschools have shut down in droves, many of them permanently. In a survey conducted when COVID-19 first hit, 2 in 5 providers said they were confident they'd have to close down for good without additional funding. According to a more recent survey, 4 in 5 childcare centers are understaffed, with staff-to-student ratios that prevent them from serving as many children as they did before. Also, wait lists in many areas have become even more widespread. Joanna Laura, a mom in Hawaii, experienced these frustrations firsthand when she attempted to find childcare once the pandemic hit. The informal home daycare her child was in pre-pandemic closed temporarily. And once it reopened, she didn't feel comfortable sending her son to a place that wasn't regulated. There was no way of ensuring the provider was sanitizing properly, and she was worried about what would happen if her toddler got sick or brought the coronavirus home. She lives with someone who has health problems, and she just couldn't take that risk. So the exhausting and daunting process of finding safe childcare started all over for her and for many other families. I have the same fears every day I send my children to daycare. Will they be safe? Is everyone keeping their mask on? Are they cleaning properly? I mean, my fears are somewhat alleviated because my children are lucky enough to be in a highly regulated center that follows CDC guidelines to prevent the spread of disease. But I'm aware enough to know that this isn't the case for many families. Cara Schuyler, the Deputy Director of Early and Elementary Education at New America in Washington, D.C., said, "We started with a lack of capacity, and now there are even fewer providers and educators able to meet the demand. As people attempt to return to work safely amidst the Delta variant surge, they have to think about what's safe for their children first. They simply will not be able to go back to work until they have a safe, reliable, and affordable child care set up. But what does this mean for families that don't have workers in the household with the ability to work remotely from home? The workforce suffers, as does individual families and children."
Understanding a future with COVID. While the surge in Delta variant cases of COVID have obscured the finish line once again, the pandemic will come to an end one way or another. Oh boy, that is optimistic. I certainly hope so. I don't see it, but I know at one point it will. An article from The Atlantic says that this time will come when enough people in the population have gained some level of immunity, either through vaccinations or infection. Then COVID will become endemic, It won't be wiped out entirely, but it won't be nearly as deadly or dangerous. The Atlantic article examines how our lives might change as our relationship to the virus changes. So let's review what they say. When relative initial immunity has been established, we will see fewer hospitalizations due to the virus. We might get booster shots to reinforce that immunity. While cases may keep cropping up, they may be much less dangerous or newsworthy than they are now. How COVID becomes endemic is also dependent on how much of the virus mutates. According to The Atlantic, it's not likely the virus would evolve so much that our immunity would fall away entirely. It's more probable that immunity against infection with the virus will weaken first, but we'll maintain our defenses against more severe illness for much longer. This was the goal of the vaccines in the first place, and while there has been breakthrough cases, they've generally proven to pass muster so far. The virus will also continue to mutate in response to a population's existing immunity. This is natural, and we've already seen it happen in viruses we're more accustomed to, like influenza. Infections with the virus in these cases can also be somewhat beneficial. They serve to update the immune system, serving as a booster in its own way. There's also a cultural and psychological shift to endemic status. When relatively widespread immunity is established, we've also begin to understand a COVID diagnosis is ultimately benign, as typical as the flu or strep throat, and that will be a period of transition as our risk tolerances shift. And also, let me just say, when that happens, what will we do? Like, share with our children, our grandchildren about the great pandemic of 2021, 2019. I don't even know what year we're in right now. As I'm looking over to my wife, that time will be remarkable when the virus does become endemic, kind of like the flu is. And just to remind you guys, and I'm sure long-term listeners of COVID Noise Filter know this, but the 1918 influenza virus, that virus is still circulating today. Right. In fact, every year when you get a flu vaccine, you know, if you get the trivalent or the quadrivalent, so if you get the one that's got three influenza viruses or the one that has four, trivalent or the quadrivalent, one of those is the influenza virus of 1918. So you usually get two influenza A and one influenza B. And one of those two or three influenza A's are a direct descendant of that 1918 influenza. So at one point, people who were experiencing the great influenza epidemic of 1918 or pandemic of 1918, it did eventually become endemic. And 100 years later, we're still dealing with it. And I anticipate the same thing will be with the coronavirus. And in fact, at one point, you can look forward to a vaccine that I have since named the Fluvid vaccine. Or it could be the CoFlu vaccine. The Fluvid vaccine is flu and COVID, Fluvid, or you could get CoFlu. Regardless, we are going to unfortunately have coronavirus for a while in our lives. And I think that moving forward, we will see the viral effects become less and less as more and more people are either vaccinated or infected or both. And when that'll be, we don't know. The other variable here more than anything else, and that's incredibly important for us to recognize, is the importance of us vaccinating the globe. Without us vaccinating the globe, we miss an opportunity to get everybody vaccinated at once to reduce the likelihood of transmission of variants. That will happen. There will be an appetite for us to vaccinate the globe. When that'll be, I don't know. Hopefully sooner than later. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.